Hey everyone, this is Craig Horlbeck from the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. Join me, Danny Heifetz, and Danny Kelly every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to help you win your draft, win your league, and most importantly, avoid that last place punishment. Follow the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
All right, guys. Solo pod number two of the week. I've not done back-to-back solos in a while. And we're not doing anything emotional today. We did the happy-go-lucky emotional stuff Monday. So today we're just going to go down the list of people in the hobby I can't stand. What I hate about everybody in the hobby. That's going to be the whole show, just to balance everything out. Also, that's a lie. We're just going to talk about some quick things. We're going to kind of redo what we did a few weeks ago. Maybe about a month ago now, we did a pod where we just came on and said, hey, aside from just the mailbag, actual topics that people wanted to hear about. Because that is something I think is cool. Like, hey, what are you guys actually concerned about, interested about in the hobby? And so we got a bunch of feedback from that on Facebook. We'll jump into some of those topics. There's a few things I'm going to hit on briefly. And then Eddie from SCN Breaks. It was Geo Breaks. He's under the SCN banner now. He's going to jump on at the middle of the show as well. Breaking's definitely taken off. It's weird. We had a couple guys actually even ask, like, hey, what's going on with the decline in product and the slowdown of breaks and sales and all that? It's a weird time in that market because our business is booming now more than ever, especially now with product. But it is interesting that other people are I think, struggling at times to fill things. So we'll talk about kind of the breaking thing, some of Eddie's favorite products. He actually is super high on Topps Cosmic this week. I have not liked it at all yet. So I hate to say that since we have 31 cases left. But yeah, so far, I've not been overly impressed. But he is, I still think, to me, Pristine and Finest are my two for the year. But we can get into that later. And then just a couple quick business, I guess, card business, just some notes, things of interest at least. First thing I want to at least address, we talked about this on the YouTube last night, super brief. The most toxic thing in the hobby, the most toxic type of person, these people who literally are just rooting for bad things to happen so they can rub in your face when it does. Like I said, we're not going to go crazy negative. I don't want to totally just throw off what happened on here Monday. But Bailey Zappi gets cut on Tuesday. And all we see on social media is posts along the lines of, well, look at all, this is what you get for investing in a young quarterback. Nobody mentioned the fact that he got signed to the practice squad that night and that the Patriots, at least as of right now from who I've talked to, are going to still have him as the backup this year. Nobody cares about that. But just this thought of like, look at how dumb you are for buying a young quarterback. And it's just, I said it last night and I stand by it. I just think those are the most useless, toxic people in the hobby. Same thing happened with Wander. This is what you get for buying a 22-year-old. It's like, well, first of all, take away the fact that Wander may have done some horrific things. May not have. I don't know the answer to that yet. But like this need to celebrate and gloat when bad things happen. Like if Zion gets hurt again, well, that's what we get for investing in this young kid who's never done anything, should have been buying Barkley cards. It's just funny to me that the hobby just feels the need to do that. Like people take such pride and such ownership of like just being able to crap on somebody else. I just think it's a weird, it kind of plays along with last week's episode. It's still the loud minority. I think the majority of people are like, oh, well, that just stinks. I'd rather just see a world where, you know, young quarterbacks thrive and do really well. I actually still think it'd be awesome if Zion just came back and performed amazing. I say this too to preface the fact that I think it's on Friday. I had it pulled up, of course. Jesse's not here and I can't find anything because I'm useless. Jason Dominguez will be activated on Friday. So tomorrow, in time for the team series against Houston Astros, which includes a Sunday night baseball primetime game. So Jason Dominguez, the Martian, it says he will be joined on the big league roster by 24-year-old catching prospect Austin Wells. Interesting that nobody has mentioned anything about Austin Wells. The Yankees have so many high-end prospects. We haven't seen anything about Wells, really. At least and the market hasn't really responded yet either. That's a kid who's going to have to come up and actually play well to see a market spike. But Dominguez cards are already moving up. I think this is an interesting one because Dominguez, obviously, in 2020. I had never seen, I'm trying to think back to 2018. Ohtani was freakish. Ohtani base autos in 2018 Bowman were $1,000 raw, which was just insane. A little bit more than that the first couple. But Dominguez was the first guy in the last few years since Ohtani that came out with pricing anywhere near that. I mean, he came out in his first few raw autos out of Bowman 2020 were $2,000. It was absolutely insane. Because again, he came up as like a 17-year-old. He's going to be the next guy. He's got this freakish athletic build. I wonder, though, what happens. Like, the first time this kid goes 0-for-3 in a game, is it just this total bailout and like, hey, we knew it was going to happen. Look at this kid can't play. Look at all you idiots who bought this young guy. Or does the market have some actual patience to it? He's still a kid. He's 20 years old. He is 20. I was going to say he might be 19. He's 20. I think it'd be awesome, by the way. I have no love for the Yankees, but it would be great to see this kid come up and have a couple home runs and have an Ellie-type impact. He's not going to be Ellie. He's not going to be J-Rod. Not off the bat anyways. But if this kid came up and had some good games, I think that would be amazing. I just think it'd be an awesome boost to a team that's going to be, you know, irrelevant in a couple weeks here once the playoffs get rolling. But we did. We had a bunch of people. What do you do with your Jason cards? If I'm holding Dominguez right now, I think I sell. His pricing has moved up quite a bit. I don't think he's going to perform at this crazy high level, although maybe he will. And if that's the case, you would have sold early. But I think I would take the short-term win on him right now. And then we're going into the offseason. The Yanks are obviously not going to the postseason this year. So, but even that, like, I'm just concerned. Like, are we going to see that same stupid take? Like, oh, we saw it with Bailey Zappi. We saw it with Zion. Are we going to see the same thing with Dominguez? So I hope not, because I think it'd be awesome for this kid to come up and just totally rake, like go 3-for-5, especially Sunday night baseball, a primetime game. He just comes up and smashes a home run. I think that would be awesome to see. He's got power. I mean, the kid's been hitting pretty well in the minors too. Even like I was reading some of his stats, his late season promotion to AAA, only 8 games. So it's a small, obviously a small sample. So I think he had, what would they say, he had like 29 at-bats or something like that. He was hitting .445, 5 walks, only a couple of strikeouts, and a few home runs. And if you combine his single A and double A for the past year, 15 home runs and then 39 stolen bases. I would love to see it. Again, I hate the Yankees. I think it'd be awesome if this kid came up and played like the Ellie role for the Yankees at the end of the year. And he's in New York. He's not in Cincinnati. So if this kid can come up and do anything, I think that'd be awesome. So, and if he doesn't, then I just worry, you know, do we have to see the same thing we just mentioned? But anyways, that was kind of the first two things, the Bailey Zappi, the Jason Dominguez, kind of the tale of two cities with those two. Only one other quick card note, and then we'll have Eddie jump in here in just a sec. There was apparently a lawsuit and a payout. I never even heard about the initial lawsuit, by the way, until I saw this settlement. So Panini had to pay $25 million to the, I think it was to the owner of the Wild Card sports card company for basically like stolen designs from the 2020 set. Some of their 2020 and maybe even 2021, I believe it was Certified was the brand, Panini Certified. And it was like a direct just copy, just totally ripped off the Wild Card, some inserts they had from years ago. Same thing. Some people made a huge deal about this. I don't know what this means. I actually am starting to feel bad for Panini. It's like they can't get a win anywhere lately. The Fanatic stuff, the NFLPA, which by the way, we've still heard nothing about. I thought the PA and that whole story, we'd see some developments quick. The fact that we haven't heard anything about the NBA or the NBAPA, maybe Panini's going to maintain basketball. The fact that the NFL itself, so teams and the actual team licensing hasn't moved over from Panini to Fanatics, I think is interesting because right now we are where we were a week ago with one company holding the rights to players and one company holding the rights to team logos. It can't go on like this, although product is still continuing to come out. Like we just got solicited on Elite, which I think comes out next week. There was another product too, I can't remember off the top of my head. Eddie might know. So they're still producing product, and at least the things that they had already had in the pipeline, that is still releasing. So that's a good thing. But yeah, I'm not concerned. It's been a week. Nothing was going to happen overnight. But I do hope we see some kind of a resolution, or at least a move to resolution, so we don't see any type of interruption in football product this year. And then baseball product, again, just to be, I don't know. I know at times we are overly positive about Fanatics. Say what you want. We're in a pretty good stretch of product right now. Like, Finest came out and was awesome. Topps Chrome was amazing this year, which has never happened. We way underordered that. To date, I think Topps Pristine is the best product of the year. And then this week, Topps Cosmic. And then we've got Bowman Chrome in 2 weeks. So there's a real run of baseball product that's come out. And then we still have a bunch of baseball to come. So I do think the hobby is still in a good spot with that. Football season's about to kick off. That's awesome. I mean, football season's great for cards. It's just always a good thing. People are going to prospect and kind of buy into the baseball hype, or to the football hype, I mean, which is great. So, yeah, I just think it's a good time for the hobby in general, and especially with wax. So, anyways, there you go. We'll make our transition. So we got Eddie Mancini. He's still wearing his Geo Breaks hat, but that's okay.
I can't let it die.
You shouldn't let it die. It was funny. When I started breaking again, I was like, I don't know what to call this thing now. I can't use Geo anymore. It's already gone.
You could have called it Eddie Breaks.
Just go totally separate. Mancini Breaks. I break under the Mancini emblem. You break under the Geo Breaks.
Right. Just confuse the heck out of everybody.
So Geo, geez, now I'm just calling you my name too. So Eddie is the guy who bought Geo Breaks in 2020. Totally, 10X'd it or 8X'd it, whatever it was, something ridiculous. Made into a much bigger brand than it was. Now we've kind of rebranded, come back together under SCN Breaks. And so, yeah, I just want to finally have you on. We've never had him on the podcast. So I was just talking product. First of all, I do want to get you got to sell me on Cosmic. I hate to say this because I know we have a huge position.
Wow.
I'm not sold on it. I don't love it.
So I already told you earlier today, I'm going to make you eat your hat when you actually start ripping this stuff. You've ripped two boxes and you're an expert. So,
fair.
No, honestly, this stuff is awesome. The quality is better than Topps Chrome was. The insert parallels, although there's a little bit of like weirdness around the planetary thing that they're doing this year because it's new, it's added such a fun chase, like such a fun chase. So the thing that I've really come to, we've only done 5 cases total right now, right? So, but the thing that I've noticed is this stuff is meant for case breaks because there are going to be, out of your 12 boxes, you're not guaranteed an auto in every box.
Yeah, what is it, 3 a case, 4 a case?
Four a case. We had one case with as many as 7. We had, and then we've had 2 cases with 4 and another with 5. So it's about 4 per case, they say. But think of it like Prism Basketball. You don't rip Prism Basketball for the World Be Free auto. You rip it for the parallels. You rip it for all this other stuff that sells for big money.
Yeah, the inserts. Yeah.
Okay. We're yet to see a lot of the stuff sell because release day was yesterday, right? But
oh, yeah, I didn't even look at sales. I am curious.
Go look up the Planetary Pursuits on that stuff. People are asking stupid money. I mean,
it's like 1 in 20,000 packs.
That's what they're saying. And it's something to me that... last year's product is still over $500 a box. We're still, this product is ripping under $400 right now. You're about $400. So how is this not a good buy with these chases is kind of what I'm after.
So like the sun is the most basic version of the planet. By the way, you told this to me because I didn't actually understand it. So it's from the sun, and the further away from the sun it gets, the planet, the more expensive because the tougher the odds.
Correct.
So just to put in perspective, it's funny too. For some reason, Francisco Alvarez has sold a bunch. So like there's been his Sun cards going for $85 to $100. But then his, which one is this? Mercury. Was that like the third, fourth from the Sun? Where's Eddie? Where's the other Eddie?
Third.
Young Eddie. Third from the Sun? He went to college. Hang on. He'll know.
Yeah, what's up?
What is in order of distance from the Sun? Where is Mercury?
I will look that up right now because I do not know it off the top of my head.
Thought for sure he had this. What's closest to the sun?
It's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune.
And they Pluto, left Pluto off? Is Pluto not Pluto, a planet anymore? Wasn't that a whole thing a few years ago? No Pluto?
Elementary school, it was always a debate whether Pluto is a planet or not. Yeah.
Just leave it be.
That shows that shows how young you are, other Eddie. Pluto was a darn planet when I was in school.
Oh, Eddie wasn't alive when you were in school, old Eddie. So, yeah. Okay, so here you go, though. The Francisco Alvarez, the only other one I see that has sold is the Mercury. So that would be, what do we just say? It's like the
second or third.
Oh, so, okay. That goes for 100. It goes for almost double what the sun goes for.
So we pulled two of the Uranus, Francisco Alvarez, and we pulled a, what was the one that was after Uranus and before Pluto?
Jupiter.
Jupiter. That's the Pluto. Farthest. So Neptune. Pluto's the farthest. Neptune. There we go. Neptune. So we pulled a Neptune Soto.
Dang. Okay, so here's one. So Soto Uranus, which is one in 20,827 packs, sold for $400. But the J-Rod Uranus, $2,500, sold and confirmed yesterday. But there's only been 20 sales total. Like, there haven't been a ton. There'll be more today. Car Ladder's always a day back.
So here's another reason why I love this product, Mike. You get anywhere between two and four of those cards per case is what I'm seeing.
I was going to say, though, that can't be right. Then the pack odds can't be right.
The sun is the most common. So you'll get a bunch of the sun, and you'll get a bunch of the ones that are right after.
Okay.
So Mercury and the sun are by far the most common. So just view those as like regular case hits that you're getting a couple of that are selling between $75 and $150.
That makes sense. Okay.
So, but then on top of that, there's two other case hits. There's Stellanova and Supernovas. Those are the die cut ones.
Okay. So, kind of like those launched into orbit ones.
Yes, but they look a little bit different and they sell for big money. We pulled a Corbin Carroll black one numbered to 10 last night. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many different case hits. I feel like it's spread out enough where many teams can hit. You know what I mean? There's a lot of teams that can't. Like, we had a Yankees case last night that went bonkers, like absolutely bonkers. Like, so, and then when you do get the good autos, like a Volpe gold auto came out last night.
But I guess that does make more, because Pristine to me, I actually haven't done a case break in a week, but I've been ripping through solo boxes. I think Pristine is the perfect, first of all, I think it's the best product anyways. And I think you can do it one box by the case, do however you want. But I actually am glad to hear you say it then. So maybe we'll just stick with cases, just let you run crazy with them.
It's not something that I would see a ton of value in. Like I said, we still put up one and two box things because it's just a different
cheap entry, right?
Exactly. You know what I mean? You still see guys that, you know, they want a chance at it. But the full case is where the value is. And that's why you're going to see me running 99% of that stuff. And, you know, it may take a little bit longer to fill because it's not a cheap product.
Sure.
But the value's there. You know what I mean? The value's there.
Did you see me nerd out with Topps Archives last night? Talk about a swing of weeks. So, dude, I did the other break Tuesday night. We ripped a full case break of Archives. It was like $40 a spot, random teams. It was cheap. The most dog crap case I've ever seen in my life. That one of one was Sean freaking Green, who was a plague in my childhood. That guy used to come out of everything. Absolute plague. And so I got so mad, I threw a fit on camera like a child. I was like throwing the empty boxes and I was like, forget it. We're opening another case. I was like, we're doing five more boxes because I'm so angry. Like, it was just such crap. The case we opened then to like add into the break, first card out, 101 Ichiro auto, second card out, 101 Ripken auto, third, 101 Bernie Williams auto, and the fourth was a 101 Randy. The fifth was some guy I never heard of. So we had 15 left. People in that break got salvaged. We ripped the 15 more last night. We ended up with 16 total 101. So, dude, last night was actually just as insane. We had all one of ones and all autos. We had Pujols, Chipper, Nolan Ryan, Tom Glavine. We had at least 8 to 10 left, like in a row. That's nice. Wade Boggs. I mean, not the biggest, but all 101. But that product is infuriating to me. I like it because it's cheap, but then you get that dog crap case and you're like, oh, this is so bad. Like, I was literally knocking cards over on stands. I feel bad. We had new guys in the break, and I was like, these guys are just gone. They're dealing with a total psychopath.
That leads me to the next point there, though. Those are products that there's still good value and fun in a cheap rip. But as a breaker, you need to be able to order enough to compensate for those absolute dog crap cases. And we knew talked going about in. That when we ordered.
Yeah, we knew going in, we're going to make $150 to $200 on all six cases total. Because I knew that this happens every year with it. I'm going to lose my mind like a child, just start ripping our product for free and go nuts, which is fine. That's why we do it. But all right, so let me ask you this next, because actually we were just talking earlier today too. Bowman Chrome is in 2 weeks.
Yep.
As of right now, this will change, but it is a weird time after that. The fact that there's nothing on the release calendar. I told you it's Ginter and Pro Debut. Nothing else on the release calendar until December.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a really great time for breakers like us specifically to just get back into routine and contact with our group and not be pushing so much product, you know, because I'm not a big fan of just pushing stuff down people's throats, right? Like, but at the same time, when you have quantity of quality product, it's a necessity to push that because sure. I would feel like it's a disservice at some point.
Yeah, because they're going to buy in somewhere anyways. You might as well have them buy in with us. We think we're better at what we do than anybody.
Exactly. And frankly, I think that it's going to be a good time for us just to kind of get back to, yeah, let's do a Bowman case every couple of days. Let's do some mixers. Let's do some fun stuff. We're going to do a bunch of giveaways, I'm sure, during dead times. You know what I mean? Like this is the time when, you know, it's how we built our name here is just connecting with people instead of pushing product. And pushing product is really important. Obviously, we do it for a living. But at the same time, it's not the fun part. it's not what really we're, you know, after as far as a fulfillment part of the job, right? Like, you know, we're all here to make some money. But at the same time, if you're not enjoying it, then what the heck are you doing, right?
Yeah. Hey, so I throw this thing on the Facebook as well, the Facebook. And so a lot of these, yeah, old school, who was that Joker from Napster? There you go. Drop the. I want to read a couple of these too, because a lot of this is wax related. So Rick Tiffenbach, people blame breakers for raising wax prices, but isn't it manufacturer's fault for designing the products with case hits to make full case breaks more attractive? That has always kind of, to me, been like a little bit of the chicken and the egg thing. Like, is it because breakers are breaking it so high, or is it because product comes out so high, breaking is a solution to getting into it cheaper? I always kind of thought it was down the middle. I think we are somewhat responsible, but I think obviously pricing, you know, we don't set that off the bat.
I think breakers are the plague of the earth. I really do. I think as a whole, okay,
cut that it.
No, I really do. I think as a whole, there is so much better that can be done. I think that you're going to find, I mean, there's plenty of great breakers that we know, right? I mean, sure. There's plenty of great people and people that do right by their communities and people that, you know, they can make a crap ton of money doing it. But if you're doing right by your community, then to me, that's a good person. But as a whole, I see way too much of breakers shoving product down people's throats just because they can't go 3 days without making some money. You know, and frankly, those are the ones that shouldn't be in this business. If you're shoving stuff down people's faces just so you can make a few bucks and you're buying at retail just to flip at 30% above retail, at a certain point, that's doing a disservice to your community. And it's why we came out and said the other day, we're not buying Cosmic anymore. We had the opportunity at $3,700. There's no value in that at $3,700 because we're going to have to break it at $400 a case higher than we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Which frankly is not, that's not value, but we're okay with sitting back for a week or two in between releases and just doing some smaller stuff instead of buying more of it and continuing to shove it down. You know, that's the difference. So I think it splits down the middle 50-50. You're going to find great communities that offer good substance and you're going to find people that are just going to shove it at you for the sake of shoving it at you.
Yeah. The next question, I was actually curious. I don't remember this. Did you rip any luminance? Did we even get any luminance last week?
No.
We didn't. Okay, somebody asked about that. I haven't seen any because I didn't get any. I didn't know if you did.
I stayed away from all of these new release football products just because, A, the uncertainty of what was going on.
I hate collegiate, too.
Collegiate products typically don't move well for us. And I just don't buy into this hype of, well, if Fanatics stops making football products tomorrow, luminance is going to be worth 10 grand a case.
Yeah, like, that does seem way overplayed to me.
I'm sorry. Like, yes, 2023, 2022 Flawless might take a jump.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
you're never going to see Legacy and Luminance at 5 grand a case. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, like if I can't get new product to break, I'm not going after Legacy and Luminance. I'm going after 22, whatever, you know, name the product I like out of 22. I agree.
Yes.
Our favorite, that's not true. Top 87 favorite Canadian though, Nat Thorpe. I'd like to hear some in-depth look at what makes a great product to buy and break, and even preface it like, why does Eddie prefer Cosmic and me Pristine and vice versa?
Go ahead.
No, you start this.
I like the, for exactly what Rick T was saying, didn't like. I like the multiple chases. I like the product that you're not just chasing the auto. You know, I think that that's what was so enticing about Pristine.
And yeah, the color there is what differentiates. Yeah, that's why I like Pristine. I'm with you.
So, I mean, and I prefaced this with Sean on that mailbag question. I told him, I said, Matt, it's not that I don't like Pristine and I like Cosmic that much more. If you're ripping 25 or 30 cases of it, it's the Russian nesting doll of packs. It's a pack inside of a pack inside of a pack.
They got rid of the ribbon, though. That was nice this year.
Thank God. Like, I
miserable.
But yeah, so that's kind of my only gripe about Pristine. Other than that, I think it's genuinely product of the year so far. But at the same time, Cosmic, I feel, is it's going to give a better high side chase, I believe. And it's not that much more expensive.
Oh, it's cheaper by the box.
By the box, yes, but it's a 12 box case versus an 8 box case.
Yeah, I agree with some of those things for sure. Like for me, a product like Pristine, I like the color. I like that it has massive, like the Seven Wonders inserts, the Swings of Summer. It has some really chase cards that are not autographs. I like Cosmic for this reason, just not as much. I like Finest for this reason, Topps Chrome. I like base products. I love Immaculate. The nice thing, too, with Immaculate's a bad example because it's non-licensed, so it's already way cheaper. But I like Immaculate. But Dynasty, for example. It's like, dude, Dynasty's one and done. Luminaries. We'll break some of it, although I don't know if we'll break any Dynasty, quite frankly. It's so expensive. I don't know what to do with it.
I'm breaking Dynasty. I don't know about you.
I hate it. Because it's like, if you don't hit, it's over. One card. Whereas I like products like that, the base stuff, where I'm like, okay, I got a blue refractor rookie. It's not an autograph of Miguel Vargas. If I grade out with the Dodgers, I get a couple Ottman base. You know, like I like the base stuff because it gives me a shot if I don't hit big to actually kind of grade out. So for me, that's a big part of it, Shones. I mean, Nat, resale value too. Like there's some products that just do not resell well and the price gets so out of whack. I like Finest for that reason because Finest, it doesn't sell as much or anywhere near as high as like a first auto. It consistently sells well year by year, and the box price is consistently about the same. Like it's never more than $250 a box ever. Like it's just never.
Finest is a what do you call that? The heartbeat of a hobby, right? Finest is a Topps Chrome without the recent years drama, but it's one just of those
steady a baseline
exactly. So don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be the guy that's getting 30 cases of Dynasty, but I view Dynasty baseball just like I view NT football. I'm doing a disservice to my guys who want to take a lottery ticket shot if I don't do one case. You know, like so I'm at least going to do one case of Dynasty, just like we always do one case of NT football, just like we always do one case of Flawless, you know, because the random player breaks on Dynasty, that's not that bad. You know,
pretty cheap, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You get into it for 60, 70 bucks. Nobody gets murdered. And a few people are real happy.
That's true. All right. Last question. I told you I was going to ask you this. We're going to do a little game. Jesse's going to hit buttons after the fact. He's not here. He doesn't know it yet. The thing you hate most about breakers is, or I hate when a breaker does this. You get to throw one example out and I have to go back at you. We'll see who runs out of things first.
Ooh,
you want first pick in the draft or you want to go second?
I mean, I need to go first pick in the draft.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm going to take your first pick.
I'm almost positive. Go ahead.
Ranting and getting excited over $5 cards.
This is in the contract of our business. I think this is actually in the wording. It may not be. I told Eddie when we were negotiating to buy the breaking company 3 years ago, I was like, here's the other thing. No offense. If I ever go on to the socials and you are yelling about a $3 auto, I'm archiving everything, changing passwords, and just walking.
I've not only taken...
It's the most cringeworthy thing. Yep.
I've not only taken that advice to heart, but I've taken it to the extreme to where now our guys, they know us as the home of the casual super.
I like it.
There's nothing more fun than pulling a super fractor, just throwing just it in the top the loader and you know, yeah, exactly. And somebody's at your door. But
yeah, I don't show hits anymore. That's my new motto. SCN breaks where you don't get to see your cards. But if you play your cards right, you get something shipped to you.
All right. So you're up.
The shaking thing is, I don't understand. I don't even know why it happens. But this whole thing about people shaking, I said it last night. I felt bad too. I did this live last night with Dan, the card guy. He's Australian. He acknowledged the Michael J. Fox joke, but he didn't. I was like, dude, breakers shake more than Michael J. Fox. And his response was, I have a Michael J. Fox autograph back here. I'm a big Back to the Future fan. Big swing and a miss by Dan. Big swing and a miss. The shaking, though, drives me nuts.
So that's a newer one. It didn't even crack my top three. So I'm glad you went there with your first draft pick. My second draft pick is going to, God, I have to go with just what I mentioned earlier. Breakers that shove crappy product at you like it's some sort of a deal or that you're getting some sort of, you know, benefit from it. And I'm sorry if you're spending that kind of money on product that you're the most expensive card out of the product doesn't cover the price of the break spot.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I see it on Instagram. I see it on Facebook. I see it on every app, on every, you know, literally everywhere. And it's that instinct breakers that feed on that instant gratification kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's just scummy to me. Like,
so mine is, my the complaining about pricing. This is honestly just a live fill thing too. Like I still spend time on Whatnot because I still steal some ideas from over there. Like I see they have some breakers over there that have some really like they're just into it. Like they just do cool things or creative.
Innovative.
That's the word I was looking for. Innovative. But like when I go on there and I see and a guy's literally just like and by the way, if you can't fill your break at the price you need to be, I get it. Like you sign off, you try again. No problem. I've been there. We've all been there when we started. You struggled when you first took over. I struggled when I started. Everybody does. But now I'm just like, oh, it's not the day for it. No problem. Let's reset. We'll try again. The guys, though, that just loot, like, are like mad at their audience. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, Whatnot, by the way, you go channel after channel. It's a kid in his, like, his mom's kitchen breaking under his under cabinet lights and like yelling, like, these should be $80 a spot. It's like, well, first of all, they should be 30. You know, second of all, like, it's not their fault you haven't done, like, maybe you have done a great job. It's an off night. Fine. Or, hey, you haven't cultivated a community yet. Move on. Like, not the end of the world. So
I couldn't agree more.
All right. Top three. This is it. Round it out here.
All right. My God, I've said I want to choose two different things. But my last one I'm going to go with anybody who wears gloves.
Not a glove man. I agree, actually. The only thing worse than gloves are loose gloves. You ever see these guys with loose gloves? They wear Jesse-sized gloves and they have normal hands.
I don't understand that.
Like, they're just trying to rip up corners?
It just makes no sense to me. It's never made any sense to me. Like, unless you're going straight from your mechanic job to breaking. Like what are you doing? Like, wash your hands. Like,
yeah.
Just wash your hands. Like, I don't get it. Like, that's the part to me. And piggybacking on breakers that wear gloves are the people that are insistent that their breakers wear gloves.
Yeah.
That part to me is you're a sandwich short of a picnic there. Like,
oh, they're serial killers. There's a lot of those. Yeah.
They put the toilet paper the wrong way on the roll.
Like, they're pulling from under?
Yeah. That's probably the guys that wear gloves, right?
That's what Ted Bundy did.
That's
well
fair.
Known for that. Yep. Charles Manson, too. Matter of fact, John Wilkes Booth was an under for the. Did they have toilet paper in 1865?
I don't know, but hundreds of Whatnot breakers must do it that way too. Like,
awesome. What was your other one then? I don't actually have a good. You took my other one, so. Yelling! God. I do hate yelling of any kind.
Yeah, yelling, gloves, the pushing of product down people's throats, and frankly, people that are my age that are running all over social media acting like they're 22.
Oh, well, like, that's just a plague of the earth, period.
It really is. But I'm seeing more and more breakers, or influencers that are becoming breakers. You, in my mind, you're kind of a hybrid. You were a breaker first, and then you decided to do the podcast thing, and now you're breaking again. But these guys that are just these influencers going out there and then trying to, like, accumulate this
notoriety. They saw Backyard do it so successfully. Yeah. I think so many people try to, like, just piggyback off that. It's like, yeah. It's not that easy. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of work involved with that stuff. Like, we're not all 26.
No.
Yeah, it's a different... Because I do think we have a much older base than almost any... Not any other breaking company, but I think our people are old. You know, actually, that's why I was going along with Dan and Doug over at Mojo. I think their guys are old. Like, I went to that party at the National. Like, it was all old people like us. Like, they're people our age.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to. I'll be honest with you. That's a new rule on the app. I don't want any customers under 30. just start revoking memberships under 30 years old. I don't want you.
So that's amazing.
I want to sing my Springsteen to people who know who Bruce is. I don't need kids who don't know who he is.
Thank you. Thank you. Slash other Eddie who wasn't born when Pluto was a planet.
Yeah, young Eddie. No, don't even worry. Oh, by the way, do you have a case? We got to give the Marlins to Carlos in a case break. I said this the other day and I forgot I don't have cases. So next case break of Cosmic, Carlos has the Marlins.
Marlins very, not even getting put up.
He was very critical of breaking. He actually brought up some good points, though. I kind of liked it. And I was like, you know what? We're going to get you in a break then, just so you can kind of see. You don't have to ship him any hits. Just ship him.
I listened to the episode, and he did bring up some great points. But it's very, it's just a very different with the TCG, the gaming world, and the breaking world. And it's a different experience. I don't know much about the TCG world, but I've watched enough to know that it's not the same hobby. Like, it's just, it's not the same hobby. It's, no, you enjoy it differently.
I did like to hear how, like, a guy was like, oh, this part doesn't. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Carlos's concerns. That's our new segment once a week, I told him. So
I like it.
There you go. All right. So Eddie, like I said, Eddie's a full-time breaker, kills it as good as anybody in the business. SCN Breaks is the name of the Facebook page. Me and Eddie still do our best to confuse people on Card Shop Live. On the app, I break under sports cards nonsense. He breaks under SCN. We will have enough money one day to build out the shipping module to just change the address. It's coming. Then it'll be much simpler. But yeah, I mean, you break pretty much 7 days. Between the two of us, it's 7 days a week. I'll be useless after next week for a little bit. But yeah, always stuff in the shop, in the stores, on the Facebook group. So there you go. Boom.
Right on. Thanks for having me, bud.
All right, man. Thank you for the time.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Jedi are being murdered. On June 4th, Star Wars returns. Only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it. Believe me.
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars, The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
All right, so there you go. Old Eddie is gone. Eddie, have you ever bought a break yet?
Not a break, no. Also in the same realm as Carlos, where kind of seems like a foreign concept to me, but that's because I haven't seen it live.
I think it's foreign to a ton of people, honestly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm actually kind of hopeful. Like, you know what? I think there is room for growth. Fanatics is always talking like 10x. I don't know if we're going to 10x things. 10's a lot. But I do. I'm like, man, there's so many sports fans who are not in the card world. And there's so many card people who are not in the breaking world. Dude, I do think there's a huge potential there. So
yeah,
we'll see. All right, let me rip through some of these mailbag, whatever this section's called today. So we get Nathan Edward. He asked a couple questions. I'm going to go with this one. Will Mike Trout's career ever match his card values? Nathan, this is the most unpopular opinion I've ever had. My answer is no. I don't think Trout's going to end with all-time great numbers. I think Trout is an all-time great talent. I think his peak is as good as anybody's. The MVPs speak to that. But he is priced much, much higher than anybody else in this era. And even previous to that, to him. I don't think it's sustainable. Because for that to happen, I think we're going to have to look back and say this guy has all-time great number. Baseball, more than any other sport, is a numbers sport. It always has been. That's why the steroid issue is such a big deal in baseball, because we hold these records more precious than any other sport. It's not a knock on Trout, but he has a ton of injury history at this point. I don't know how much longer we see a peak Mike Trout, and if that's the case, I don't know what his career numbers end up looking like. So I just think we're at the point where he is overvalued a little bit. But again, he's phenomenal. If you said, hey, a player for 3 years at their peak all time, you could probably argue he's as good as anybody who's ever played. So, you know, not knocking that. But anyways, there you go. Javon says, with the MVP buyback for Topps Chrome being so well received, do you see them doing similar programs with different awards, like a Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, different things like that? It'd be interesting. I love it because it incentivizes and it adds value to cards that have none. A base Mookie Betts out of Topps Chrome is a 10-cent card. Now it's worth $20 if he wins. I wouldn't hate seeing him do that, so I'd actually kind of like to see it. But I don't have any insight as to whether they will or not. I certainly hope they do. So, Joseph said, with card producers embracing breaking, like Topps literally having a product called Breaker's Delight, Topps Chrome Breaker's Delight is what he's referring to, should said card producers make more of an effort to spread the hits around, so to speak, instead of loading up on one specific team? I think you've seen that more in 2023 than any other year. Even relatively crappy teams, they've kind of worked, like with Pristine, with Cosmic, they've worked in some retired vets, some Hall of Famers. In a perfect world, every team would have some kind of a chase. You know, the Giants have been weak the last couple of years. In Pristine, you can hit a gold refractor, Willie Mays. I think that's cool. But a lot of that, too, is indicative of who's on the roster. Like, it's not a card company. You can only do so much with vets. We don't need every product to have, you know, Willie Mays. And like even like the Brewers are another team, historically kind of weak. You know, I don't need Robin Yount in every product or George Brett for the Royals. But I do think, could they make more of an effort? I guess. But I think we've seen that with some products. That's why I like Pristine. It's super spread out. You can get a relatively weak team and still pull a decent card. So I do like that. Nathan Edward, one more for you. Like I said, he asked a few, but this one was good too. Licensed versus unlicensed. Especially in baseball, a lot of guys stay away totally from unlicensed. I get it. I like it because the price reflects the resale value. If Immaculate Baseball had logos, it would be $1,200 a box. Instead, it's going to be, I don't even know, $350 a box or $400 a box, whatever it is. I'm okay with that because the price determines that, hey, it is taking into account the fact that there are no logos. So I actually think some of my favorite, honestly, NT Baseball, Immaculate Baseball, even 3-2, are three of my favorite products of the year every year, just because I think they're actually decent value products despite not having logos. So there you go. A couple more here real quick. We already talked about the Adam, AJ, Rotler, about the things breaking down. You know, prices slowing down a little bit. Is that indicative of singles pricing? Singles pricing this year is pretty ridiculous, so I actually don't think so. Nicholas asked an interesting question, kind of presented an example. I've been buying CSG and SGC 9.5s and 10s to crack and send a PSA with pretty good results. Two questions. One, is it unethical? Not to me. I mean, I crack and regrade with stuff all the time. Two, would this be kind of a scenario where other companies will gain value on PSA? 20% above the last comp for a CSG 9.5 is what they're selling for. That's where you make your best margin. I hope so. Nothing would make me happier than to see Beckett, PSA, SGC all sell for the same price. If the three of those things sold had the same resale value, you would have the most competitive marketplace in grading we've had in years, and it would be a great end result for the customer. You could go wherever you want. You pick the service you want. If one's backed up, you go somewhere else. I get that PSA outsells everything else, but to me, they leave some things to be desired. I think SGC's customer service is the best. I think SGC is the most consistent grader. And then the promos they do with all these $9 deals, I think is an awesome thing for the hobby. But if we could ever find a way, and obviously SGC is our biggest sponsor, but to have SGC, PSA, and even Beckett all have relatively the same resale value, I just think the end result would be a super competitive marketplace. And all of a sudden, you get to pick and choose where you go. They have to find new creative ways to be innovative and compete with one another. You get, like, that's literally be the exact opposite scenario of what we're going to see from Fanatics. Everybody's concerned with Fanatics, maybe good, maybe bad, but being a monopoly going forward, what if there's no competition? I make the same argument with grading. Like, if we had much more competition on a totally level across the board playing field with resale, it'd be the best thing that the hobby could ever see. But I have no issue with him, with you cracking and doing things like that at all. So, Jim asked an interesting question. Most of us live in the hobby $20 at a time. Jumping into the $100 plus pool is intimidating for many people. Any advice on how to lose the low end mentality? You know, honestly, Jim, I would say if low end is the world you're in, stay there. There's nothing wrong with a $20, you know, mentality if that's what you can afford. If you want to take some steps, I would say, again, just do it cautiously. Make moves and use money that is expendable. Because so many guys make this because they see all the crap on social. They want to jump up and be a baller and do these things. They get burned. And now, not only are they not $100 guys or $1,000, whatever it is, now they're not even $20 hobby guys. They're out because they lost their money. They've lost their love of the hobby. It's over. So, you know, also another thing too, like use your cards to fund your move. Okay, if I want to make a move into a big card, say a $200 card is really a big max budget card for you. Well, can you sell a bunch of your $10, $20 cards to move into that card? Now you're not having to come up with all the cash. It's a lot easier to do things like that than it is to just straight pay out the, you know, just brand new money, just actual liquid cash for a card. That's kind of how I did it. And my cards were almost always just self-funding. It was like a snowball. Just if you make a few bucks, you can kind of get the next card, move up like a snowball. So, but again, just stay in your lane. Joel Smith asks the most insulting question of the week. Topps calls and says they want to make a sports cards nonsense, Allen and Ginter card for next year, but only one of you can be on it. Who gets on the card? That's a disappointing question, Joel. You know the answer. Absolutely ridiculous, to be honest with you. Witt and J-Rod, buy, sell, hold. I think you have to hold Bobby Witt right now. He showed enough at the end of the season where I think this kid is going to be a player in the MLB. Very good, too. J-Rod, I almost wonder if you couldn't buy him right now and sell him in the midst of the playoffs, but it's risky. J-Rod has come back super strong in pricing the last few weeks. If you're going to do it, you got to have the stomach for the volatile market. My thought is this kid might make a run in the playoffs too and just go absolutely nuclear. If you believe that, I would say buy him. If you don't, I would say cash out right now on him. Andrew Larson asked an interesting question too. I don't want to get into grading too much. If SGC has the ultimate goal of being number one in grading, why wouldn't they do something drastic like lower grading costs to $10 and then slowly increase it after capturing new customers? Because you can't really do it, Andrew. Honestly, you get into something for $10, when they go back up to 18, you lose all those new people and you aggravate them. I actually think despite the fact that it might prevent some people from going in, I think you have to kind of maintain an entry-level price. You can still run the specials and stuff like that, but that's why they run those specials, the $9 on new releases like we did with Topps Chrome. They'll probably do it with Bowman Chrome. But if you just do that across the board, you're never going to... You can always go down. You can almost never just go up in price, though. It's tough. So Bam brings up a point that I actually totally agree with. The odds on Cosmic Chrome seem wrong to me. I think so. I have seen so much of this stuff in breaks and just watching other people break. I don't know that I believe these pack odds being as crazy, like the crazy long shot odds that they initially said, but I also don't have any, you know, any actual evidence to prove that. So there you go. Last question. Hayes Chandler says, any clue what the NFLPA versus Panini issue will mean for Panini Blitz app? I don't, but I do know there was kind of a freeze put on NFTs this week as well. So I don't know if that had to do with because of the wild card thing or if that was because of this NFLPA thing. But I think we're going to see it affect kind of across the board. I would imagine at least. So, and I guess we'll go with one last question. We talked about this, but it's such a breaker heavy episode. Why not? Ryan Munoz, always want to know the behind the scenes of breaking. Any tips on sorting teams, saving on shipping and supplies? Yeah, hire somebody to sort for you. Best move you will ever make. Get your wife if you can't hire somebody yet. Once you grow big enough to do it, hire somebody because shipping is miserable. Shipping and supplies, ship often. Like even if you have to spend more money because you're shipping three times a week instead of twice a week, it will win the favor of your customers. Supplies, just buy crazy in bulk. I mean, like we buy top loaders 10,000 at a time. We buy our mailers 10,000 at a time. The other things you bring up are tough, though. Camera shyness. I mean, if you're shy on camera, I don't know how entertaining it'll be. So maybe a little bit tough, but just provide a service that you would be happy with as a customer and don't nickel and dime things. You know, again, I'm not going to top load these cards because, you know, it's going to save me 12 cents a card. Go the extra little mile here and there. You will get that back tenfold if you take care of your people. So there you go. All right. That is your show for the week. Two solos back to back. This was a way different vibe. I liked Monday's show a lot better. It was a different vibe. I did like it a lot better. This was kind of a super breaker heavy one, though. We haven't done that in a while, so I'm okay with it. Jesse will be back next week. We got the holiday on Monday. Is it Labor Day or Memorial Day? Something on Monday.
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Thank you, Eddie. So, yeah, so we're only going to do the one show next week. I'm assuming Jesse will be solo for that on Thursday, and then we're just going to play it by ear going forward after that. So there you go. Eddie, anything else we need to throw in here?
Had one question the interview you guys had. What does shaking mean for the common man?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So guys will literally pull, like, you know, so on camera, they're holding it and you can't see it. You hold it in front of your, like in front of your camera. So you're just seeing my hands and the card. Yeah. You don't really see my face. They'll pull like a big card, like, oh my God, I'm literally shaking. You're not shaking.
Literal shaking. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's so brutal. I don't know what idiot started it. And then it just like became this thing where people would post a $10 card and make the joke that they were shaking. So the literal shaking was bad enough.
Yeah.
The jokes trying to be funny about shaking became, I honestly just want to flag the word shaking in the Facebook group and just ban
just
it.
Just ban
it's,
it.
Oh, it's so stupid. The only thing worse than like the thing is always like the bad jokes that ensue. So we're getting you in a break. I'm going to have, who's your team? What baseball?
Padres.
Okay. Padres are a little more expensive than the Marlins, but we'll figure out something.
Merrill. We got to get Merrill, Salas, couple so good prospects.
Salas has his first auto coming out in that product in 2 weeks. The Padres are going to be, by far the most expensive team there, I bet.
I've been getting heavy into like prospecting now because obviously the season has gotten crap for my Padres. And so now I'm like looking into all these prospects and it's making me get into like sports cards now. So it's like interesting with like Carlos with the TCG stuff. And that's one way of getting
totally
into cards.
Are they totally out of it, by the way? Are the Padres totally done?
They're like 8.5. They're like 8 games out. And so, yeah, there's like technically still a chance, but they got like walked off twice, like 2 days in a row this week against the Cardinals. Like it's no shot.
What happened with Soto, by the way? He was like the best player in baseball 3 years ago. What is going on with him?
Petco is like a very pitcher friendly park. So I think that, and then obviously probably just adjusting to a new city, that's probably done it, but he's been good. Like, I don't want to make it seem like he's been bad.
But he's not been that level.
He hasn't been his like 950 like and plus like over OPS. Like right now he's like at 890 or something. Like good all-star player, but not like the $440 million contract offer that he had like with the Nationals. Like now it's probably gonna be less than that. So
that was confusing my bold offseason. That was my bold offseason prediction. I was like Tatis and Soto are gonna be the modern day edition, obviously less numbers, of Ruth and Gehrig. It has not worked out as well.
Freezing cold take. That's a freezing cold take.
It's a terrible take. Oh, goodness. I'm shaking because of how bad that take is. There you go. Nice. Awesome. Well, Eddie, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate you being here. Yeah, so you'll be stuck with Jesse. Are you here next week? We got Carlos back.
No, Carlos is back next week, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good deal. Well, yeah, so Jesse will be back next Thursday, guys. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. See you next week. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.